Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Read a piece in SI about this that sort of confirmed. It is, in some ways, it's crazy, but in some ways, it's just an extension of competitive parenting, which is the biggest sport in the world and or in our country these days. And that you want your kid to do this and do that and have every advantage. And if you can possibly smooth the way for your kid, then maybe they'll find elusive happiness. I mean, and this is, listen, I'm one of five Calkins boys, and all five of us in one way, shape, or form went to Harvard. And I know that's not an accident. It's because I had privileges and advantages that other people didn't have. If I had grown up in a different family in a different part of town, with my dad hadn't gone, it would have been totally different. But the game has been rigged in favor of wealthy people and people who are alums' kids and whatever for a long time, and people who can afford SAT tutors and people can afford. I think so some are saying, like, what's different about this, really? You know, and it's just because it's so straight and transactional, I think. But I don't, you know, the truth of the matter is that it's a rigged game from the beginning, and I've benefited from the rigged game, so that's why I talk about it. I don't pretend that I'm some genius, and that's why I went. My dad went to Harvard, and I was expected to get good enough grades to go to Harvard, and so that's why I did. And it was, this is just, it's so incredibly transactional and bizarre, but I do think it points out the degree to which parents sometimes are just, because this is the parents, it wasn't the kids, the parents are invested in their kids, quote unquote, succeeding. Although, what kind of success is it if it's...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Just bought. Like, it's literally just ego parenting. And I can be guilty of it too at times. And so, but that's clearly what's happening.
So, full disclosure here, my dad went to Georgetown. However, Lori Loughlin's money, anybody, maybe the combined total cast of Full House couldn't have gotten me into Georgetown. So that's the way that one went. Like, even, like, you know, they could have put me on the crew team or water polo or sailing or fencing. I don't think that would have mattered. Point two, though, as you mentioned about the kids. So it turns out, as I'm doing some reading, Lori Loughlin's kids, of course, one of them anyway, is an Instagram YouTube star.
I've seen her.
Shocking. And she's out there, had apparently been tweeting earlier in the year about, I don't care about school. I'm going for the partying. I want the party experience. And again, I'm not trying to pick on a freshman or sophomore college kid, whatever. College kids do dumb stuff. I'm so glad that we never had social media when I was in college. So I'm not picking on her. So, but I don't know, like, how they're going to feel about it. And then the really funny part for me is, so all this doesn't seem like that big of a deal to me. Although when you involve mail fraud and something called honest services mail fraud, and there's penalties up to 20 years in prison, suddenly that's not so funny. But the funny part is the two of them, I guess, that were trying to go in as playing on the crew team, like they sat on a machine like that you would have in your rowing machine in your house, and they took pictures on that and they posted that. That was their background of, oh, okay, yeah, the kid crews, that's great. Like, that's the part to me where I think, hey, maybe this will end up as a Lifetime movie in a few years or something. But other than that, I don't know. It's bizarre.
Some of this is just things you've heard. There was one story about a kid. His advisor met with him. I think this was a kid at Stanford. Maybe Stanford. And they said, so the advisor said, you're on the track team. And the kid said, yeah, no, I'm not on the track team. I'm like, and kid was totally unaware. I said, no, I'm not. He says, you're a track athlete. And later on, they changed his schedule to make room for track practice. And he contacted him and said, I'm not a track person. Like, so some students clearly knew, some didn't.
Yep.
The woman, the young woman that you're talking about, what's her name? I don't know her.
Lori Loughlin, I believe.
Yeah,
is the one.
I saw her daughter, and I saw a video of her daughter, because she is an Instagram or whatever. Eh?
Yep.
She's a YouTube model or whatever they are.
Yep.
And I didn't retweet the video just because I don't need to be contributing to her, you know, disgrace. But it is true. She makes money making videos. She's very cute and makes money making videos and talking to people. And thanks for being my subscribers. And in one video, she said, people are asking me where I want to I'm not going to tell people where I would go into college, but just suffice it to say that I'm going for game day and the parties, and I don't really care about the school part.
Yes.
And then even before this came out, she posted another video. I know because I've seen them both, apologizing for it, saying people thought I sounded like an idiot and whatever. But, this is more a parenting issue, obviously, than a kid's issue. But it just suggests how nutty this whole crazy world of admissions is. I mean, admissions to places like this now, Harvard's admissions is under 5%.
It's insane.
And most people who apply aren't dummies to begin with,
no,
right? So it's 5% of ridiculous. So the whole thing is preposterous. And then the connection between success and happiness and like how much of it's just, I don't know. It's a nutty story. I do think that one of the lessons is these places should get rid of, they won't, but why in the world are you letting a sailor or a crew athlete and people say, well, you let a violinist in. Yeah, you let three violinists in a year who are among the best in the entire world, right? I mean, that's sort of different than letting in every year, seven more soccer players to Harvard who wouldn't necessarily qualify to go to Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and then other people ask, what's the difference between this and like people have been buying buildings, sticking their names on buildings.
That's what I was saying.
For years.
That's the old-fashioned way of doing it, right?
That's like the old-fashioned way.
Absolutely.
This just seems crashed. I think that's really it.
Yeah.
This is too crass and transactional because there was a middleman involved.
Yes.
And the middleman is going to go, he's taking the money as opposed to the university taking the money directly.
Yes.
And
you know what it smacks of, Jeffrey? It smacks of new money. And old money hates new money. It's the new money thing. It's very crass.
Old money knows that you just give the money to a building.
Yes.
And then your son gets in.
Yes.
And new money tries to do it with this guy, this middle guy, who will pretend your kid is a lacrosse
My son
player.
Does fencing. Don't you need a fencer on the end of your bench this year? Let's admit Johnny.
Well, man, that's the other thing is winning is so inconsequential to these coaches. Like, that's not where they make their money, right? Winning, it doesn't matter. Sure, I'll take this schlub and use one of my, because they only do get so many thumbs on the scale.
Yep.
You know, they go to the admissions and say, listen, I really need Jeff Calkins. He may look slow, but he's really faster. He's like white lightning is what I call him.
His team cheers are off the chart. We're going to love him.
Really need him, and they don't even care about the competitive aspect of it. They're totally willing to submarine their own team to get this clown in who can't run.
Which is amazing. One of the coaches, I think, was it a tennis coach at Georgetown, I think I'm thinking, took about, all totaled, $1.2 million over like an eight-year span. That seems excessive for a tennis coach, right? Like, how did red flags not get waved anyway? It's a crazy story.
I don't understand the whole thing. Well,
yes.
I don't understand why the admissions. I totally get the cheating on the ACT thing. You pay and you'll get something in the 30s. I think that's what it was. If you pay, this money,
we got someone to do it for you. Yep.
You'll get an ACT. Like that's been done for years for basketball, football players, et cetera. So now it's just that I get. I mean, I'm not approving of it, but I understand it.
It happens,
how in the world did this? Why wouldn't the admissions folks notice that this was happening if it's happening on this large scale? You would think they would. These are not massive universities,
right,
generally speaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would think they would notice if Johnny the Fencer
can't
shows
actually
up
handle the blade.
Pounds. Right. He cuts himself cutting with his plastic fork.
Yeah.
And you would think someone would notice that.
You would think
because
so.
Because they do their advisor. It'll be like they all have advisors. I was a proctor. I lived with freshmen when I was a law student, and I had folders on them, and I knew what their background was and what their application said and whatever. And I would have noticed if a guy who was supposed to be a fencer, you know, looked whatever. It is a wacky story. There's no question about that.
And it certainly carried the day and actually bumped the whole Russell Westbrook story to almost like 1A, even in a great NBA city here like Memphis. That story was crazy last night. I know you talked about it earlier today. Everyone's heard about it so far. Gary and I spent a lot of time on it. Well, it turns out now the Utah Jazz have come out and banned this kid, Shane Kiesel, from the arena, not just Jazz games, but from the arena for life, effective immediately. Russell Westbrook hit with a $25,000 fine by the NBA, and I'm fine with both those, Jeff. I think that's probably the appropriate punishment for this guy. Russell, it's a slap on the wrist, I guess, because you can't be just going around saying, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to F you up to just random paying customers. Like, that's bad for business and on the NBA's behalf. But, like, the larger issue is, what do you do to contain and stop things like this from, A, happening again, and, B, escalating to where drunk guy in the stands who's mouthing off to Russ decides he doesn't like Russ saying something about his wife, and he comes down at Russ or whoever, not just Russ. But, like, you got to get a handle on it.
You have to be pretty aggressive as a organization and as an arena about – and I know if you're – I believe at FedEx Forum they do this too, that they – that there's little cards. If you're sitting down low, you get a little card, and there's some rules of decorum, right? And I think those rules should be enforced. I'm not saying they aren't at FedEx Forum. The truth of the matter is, I sit low a lot at a lot of for Tiger games, and I honestly don't hear horrible things yelled at people. This is becoming endemic. And I had Rob Fisher on this morning on my show, and I asked him the same question. I mean, he's down sideline all the time. Do you hear awful stuff all the time?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, not really. And I mean, do you recall? I didn't hear a lot of awful stuff.
So Gary and I were talking about that.
The birds are yelling stuff.
Sure.
But they're not yelling hateful, racist stuff. And I just wouldn't – it's just not me. I wouldn't yell, you suck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just wouldn't – that's not – I'm not wired.
So you've never heckled anybody? Is that what you're saying?
I don't really heckle. No. I mean, I'll boo an official. Boo.
Mm-hmm.
That was a terrible call. Can't believe it. Boo. You know, I'll do that. But I don't really think, I mean, Tom Brady, maybe. But no, even there, like, I he doesn't suck. Like, he's good. That's really the problem. It's the opposite is the problem with
mm-hmm.
Tom Brady. And so, I don't really, I'm not a big heckler. And but I just think you have to make it clear that. And I do think that if you throw people out, not lifetime bans for the first offense, unless it's racially tinged or something. But if it's just you, just tell people, we're not doing that here. Like, we're not doing that. You can yell, you can boo, you can get out of here, you know, whatever. I guess you can yell, but you cannot say offensive things. And I also think it's then up to paramount for the players to point them out. I think generally, if they are pointed out, security tends to be pretty good about moving in and that's obviously what Russ should have done. I understand that, and it's why Russ should have been fined, is that no matter what the guy said, the answer is not, I'm going to F you and your wife up. That is not the answer. The answer is, I'm going to ask this nice gentleman here with a security uniform on to remove you. And that's, and I bet people get heated, and then they say other things. I get that, but
all right. Let me ask you this: what
if
he?
That's the answer, isn't it?
What if he? We have, and I agree. Where was the security to be like, yo, Russ, we gotta chill, man? I heard him, like, you know, just at least stand up and try to separate him and the dude, break his concentration, whatever. What if Russ had just said to the dude, I'm going to F you up, and left the wife out of it? Are we looking at like a $12,000 fine? You know what I mean? Like, it seems
fine.
Like it takes it to the next level. Yeah. Oh, I still think there's
still
a fine for
fine.
Sure, but I don't think it's as excessive. All right. So we got the AAC tournament starting on Thursday. I understand you were out at Penny Hardaway's media session. Is that accurate? What went down with Penny?
I went to two different media sessions today. I went to the Mike Norvell media session.
Yep.
He, by the way, is... is so good. The fact, first of all, so he has this luncheon, and all the new coaches sit at the table, and you can chat with whoever you want.
Yep.
And when the players are available, they'll have the same deal. And one of the things he was talking about was how the Memphis players at the combine all did very well, not just their on-the-field testing, which they did do very well, but their interviews and whatever. And one reason they do well is that they're not at a program that hides them and shelters them, mm-hmm. right? And so, like, there's a defensive end from Florida who just totally bombed in front of the combine in his interviews, in part because he was you know, at Florida, they just protect you. They don't have you talk to the media much. And so the fact that Mike said it, he said, I am trying to prepare my players and my coaches for their next gig or for what they're doing next. And it's just really impressive how he does it. And so spring practice starts Saturday, and then that'll happen. And then Penny talked, and I asked Penny, I just figured I'd get right to it. I cut right to the important question. I said, are you going to take these games one at a time or four at a time? and he said he's going to take them. I know this is going to be hard for you to believe. One at a time.
No, he went with the one.
I want someone to take them four at a time.
Yeah.
I think going four at a time would be, like, that'd be a big game.
That'd be amazing.
The danger with what's happening here, it's not a danger, but it's all year long. What have people been saying? They've been saying, you know, the tournament's in Memphis. They could win. As long as they're playing their best basketball, they could actually win the tournament. And it's created this sort of almost expectation that they will win, right? Or you know, they really might win. And they're not the favorites to win.
Nope.
By any standard. They won't. And certainly one of the games will be a coin flip, and then the next two they'll be underdogs in. So in order to win the tournament, they'd have to beat Tulane, then win a coin flip game against a team that Gary thinks might actually be favored by a point over them, UCF, and then probably win two games as underdogs. Well, I mean, that's highly unlikely that is going to happen. And so they've created, I think, a set of expectations for themselves that I won't be disappointed. I want them to get to Saturday. That's my goal. I want them to get to Saturday.
Well, the conference certainly wants them to get to Saturday, too. We see how these tournaments look when the home team gets bounced early. Ben and I were talking about that yesterday, right? Hey, the AAC also owes Memphis one. Right? They needed UCF to win that conference football game last year and the year before that, and maybe there was a couple calls that we in Memphis didn't agree with. So I'm just saying, maybe the AAC can, you know, do us a solid and benefit of the doubt. Maybe we give it to the guys in blue and gray.
I've actually made that point, that if you look at the power of this particular conference to get the result it wants, as reflected in that football game, if they have the same approach to the basketball game,
mm-hmm.
it may help a Tiger Blue. There's no question. If as long as they get to Saturday, then let's say they lose Saturday. Well, then Sunday will be empty. But one empty day, when you already moved on to Selection Sunday day anyway, right?
Sure, yeah.
But you don't want Saturday and Sunday to both be shoot a cannon off. And that's what it would be like. So, yes, for the purposes of the atmosphere, the conference, and, of course, the University of Memphis, obviously you have to beat Tulane and then beat UCF. And then whatever happens, happens. They certainly won't. I think Houston's really good, and I think it's unlikely they win that game. But at least they'd have a shot, and certainly stranger things have happened.
I've never understood why conferences – I understand it's because of TV. I don't like the Sunday championship game. Like, even if you win it, you've only got a little bit to celebrate. Then everybody forgets it because they're talking about who you're playing in the NCAA tournament. You win it on Saturday. You get time to enjoy it for a little bit. Then you look forward to, like, the big party Sunday. The whole Saturday, the Sunday championship thing, it drives me crazy.
Yeah, I sort of like Saturday better, too.
Yeah. All right. Listen, I know you got
to. They used to do Saturdays. Yeah.
Yeah, they did. They did with the Conference USA. And then I think the ACC was the one that started the whole Sunday thing. And now everyone's kind of moved it around. Listen, I know you're going to talk to get to. I appreciate your time today. We'll listen to you tomorrow morning. Jeff Calkins from the Jeff Calkins Show. All right, Ben, he's kind of on our wavelength there about, you know, the officials. This would be best for the conference. You get another at-large team in there that you weren't planning on getting because you know that UCF and Houston and Cincinnati are going anyway. So
yeah,
I know Temple's on the fence, but
unfortunately in basketball you can't take back fouls like you can pick up flags.
Right.
So yeah. We'll see how they adjust.
Well, we know with our friend Tim Donaghy that the calls can be made. It can happen. I'm not suggesting that anybody get involved in anything illegal, like William H. Macy allegedly may or may not. It's apparently his name was not mentioned because his wife was the one charged, but he has not been ruled out. I've been doing a little research. Has not been ruled out. It is still an ongoing investigation, which
as they always are.
Yeah, you know how much ongoing can there be? Like you just came out and said everything. Like you kind of then tipped your hand to William, where he's going around and you know burning all his checks and whatever. I don't know, but whatever. We're running a little bit behind. Matt Stark in for GP, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
All right, welcome back. A couple long deep dives today with GP, Keith Easterwood, and Jeff Calkins. Brings us to a super late version of Four Stories.
Four Stories, presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
All right, as we mentioned a short time ago, the Utah Jazz have acted quickly in light of last night's events with a fan getting into it with Russell Westbrook from Oklahoma City. They have banned that fan, Shane Kuisel, permanently from all arena events effective immediately. The NBA has acted too. They fined Russ Westbrook $25,000. Ben Hogan, we were talking about it earlier with GP. He's thinking this could be the tipping point for the NBA where they really kind of try to get out in front of something like this happening again and taking a more unfortunate turn. What do you think they can do? Like at some point, you know, they've already added all the security they can add. What do you think they do in terms of trying to make sure this doesn't happen again?
I don't know if they can. Like, honestly, with the way all the arenas are set up,
mm-hmm.
It's not like you can censor the fans. Players are going to hear them, and you know, I'm sure that they hear conversations that they're not supposed to hear. It's not even directed towards them. They hear things.
Yeah,
it's going to happen. I mean, I think they've done a good job since the Mouse in the Palace to make sure something like that doesn't happen again. I think this is it's borderline getting back to that, but we haven't seen anything like that, and I don't know what else really can be done to do that.
I think the idea of the quick ejection with the card, and then you know you go back from there and you figure it out if it's, hey, how bad did it get, whatever, and we get to ban this guy like Utah did. I think that's essentially what you can do. I mean, I don't think adding you know any extra people in yellow jackets is good. I mean, maybe you have more around you know the entrances in the arena, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
They've also added seats. Next to the benches.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you literally are sitting on the bench with
right.
the players. So, you know, the NBA has to kind of figure that out, too. And I know it wasn't anybody in the front row, but if you recall, it was only, what, about a month ago where a kid reached out and touched Westbrook again. It just happened to be him on the shorts. And he kind of turned around like, yo, what's up? You know, like, because you don't know. You don't know it's a kid. You don't know who that is, and you don't know what's going to happen. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if anything comes out of this. And I will say kudos to the Jazz for acting quickly on this one.
Yep.
Story number two.
All right, so an NFL poll is out from Sports Illustrated, and I'll do this on my Richard Dawson from Family Feud survey. It says 15 NFL agents were asked what the top destinations were for their clients if they were a potential free agent. Give me the top five and then the bottom five real quick, Mr. Hogan. Your guesses.
I'm going to go San Francisco.
Top five, no.
Miami.
Miami is one, yes.
Dallas.
Dallas is number one, 11 votes. Reasoning being for them, they said that the agents have said they spare no expense when it comes to the player luxuries. They just treat the players first rate. So you got Dallas and Miami.
Los Angeles?
Which one? The Rams are number four. Seattle's number two. Atlanta, number five.
I was going to say Atlanta because I know Party.
Which is others receiving votes. Philadelphia, Houston both got four. Indianapolis, three. New England got three. Arizona, two. And then a whole bunch of others. All right. As for the bottom five places that they did not want to go, one of them a runaway winner, but there's five.
Buffalo,
number one. Sorry, Jeff Calkins. 12 votes for Buffalo. Nobody wants their clients going there, including Antonio Brown. And the way he succeeded not getting traded there, probably going to help other players avoid going to Buffalo as well. All right, so Buffalo, number one.
Cleveland
is number five, although they do say that they feel that the new ownership and John Dorsey, their new GM, has got them pointed in the right direction, and they also like Baker Mayfield. So Buffalo and Cleveland, think Rust Belt. Stay with it.
Cincinnati,
number three on that list. Detroit, number four. And your Oakland Raiders, number two, although people feel that will change as they move forward and they go
they
to
go
Las
up
Vegas.
And down, I think.
Because as you mentioned, they've been rated consistently really bad for years, according to this agent, but that will likely change once they get to Vegas. New facilities and no state income tax.
Okay.
Interesting.
Story number three.
So, Conor McGregor was back in the news yesterday, arrested in South Florida for smashing and then walking off with a fan's cell phone. He actually got charged with robbery and criminal mischief. So, but don't worry, it all ends well for Conor because today, he was out of jail last night. Today, he's selling the T-shirt that he was photographed in as he walked out of jail. A version of that T-shirt, not the actual T-shirt, online on his deal, whoever he's got with his clothing people, $56. You could buy a Conor McGregor T-shirt that he wore when he got sprung from jail. You dropping $56 in that kind of T-shirt?
No.
I don't think so.
Also, I saw the victim spoke to TMZ and said that Conor McGregor faked him out, acted like he was giving him a handshake, took his phone, smashed it.
Mm. I didn't know that was a felony. That seems kind of excessive. Robbery and criminal mischief? I mean, I guess, like, you can't just go grabbing people's cell phones, but...
But still, yeah, you also...
It's Conor McGregor. Like, you know you're playing with fire. It's like the lady that climbed over the barrier to get to the Jaguar. Like, what are you doing?
Don't be an idiot when you're trying to take a picture.
Seriously.
Story number four.
I got no mercy for those idiots. So we talked about yesterday if you would buy stock in the Memphis 901 FC soccer team or the Memphis Express, and I discussed how Memphis was a really good soccer market, and the numbers are out. And they prove it because I love to be right all the time. Memphis was the number one market in the nation for Arsenal Man U on Sunday, and it was the second most watched Premier League in U.S. history of all time. Memphis, number one in the nation, Ben Hogan.
I am shocked. I know that I am shocked that they're the number one in the country when it comes to soccer viewership.
For the Premier League for this particular Sunday, but still, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we always see them up there in the NBA.
Yep.
Especially with playoffs, finals.
I told you they're always up there for World Cup. I am generally always right. And if I'm wrong, I will never bring it up again so that you would not know that I was wrong. All right.
That's smart.
We'll be back for dinner to go.
Get to us the Sundays.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
I want a BMW i3. It's little, but it's on plan.
All right, we are running out of time on this two-hour tour on this Tuesday. Turns out that James Vanderbeek, star of Varsity Blues, had a little something to say about Operation Varsity Blues, and he nailed it with this tweet saying, "If only there was a succinct turn of phrase these kids could have used to inform their parents they were not desirous of their life path." Mr. Hogan, hit it.
Playing football at West Canaan may have been the opportunity of your lifetime, but I don't want your life.
Perfect. I don't want your life. I love it. Nailed it. Thank you, James Vanderbeek. Let's do dinner to go.
Dinner to Go is presented by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop, a Folk's Folly original.
It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
Oh, man, we learned a lot of stuff. Number one, that parents will forever do dumb stuff on behalf of their kids. I learned that Felicity Huffman was not the star of Felicity. That would be Kerry Russell. I also learned she's married to William H. Macy. And I don't understand yet how they haven't put two and two together and figured out that, like, maybe he had something to do with it with the wife, too. Like, she's the one on the chopping block right now, but I don't know how he skates. But then again, I don't really understand a lot about our legal system. I know, just don't mess with it. And also, like, don't take selfies with Conor McGregor unless he seems like he's in a real cheerful mood. You know, he's not a guy you're going to try and play gotcha on. Not a good idea. He'll steal your cell phone. He'll smash it. He'll go to jail. He won't care. He'll sell T-shirts.
What's the biggest game tonight?
I'm going to go with the CAA final that Gary and I talked about earlier. Hofstra, Northeastern. Winner goes to the NCAA tournament. So check that out on CBS Sports Network. It starts in just mere moments.
What should I watch on TV?
Well, on TV tonight, I'll tell you what. It's spring break at St. Benedict, so we're loving that. I'm loving that. Might be family movie night in the Stark House, so I don't know what we have on the DVR, but so you guys are all on your own. Watch the basketball game. That's probably what
I'm
going to
do. Number one team in the country plays tonight.
Gonzaga.
Yep.
Yeah, they look good last night. I watched a little bit about them. They look sharp.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Well, Jeff kind of teased it the other day. He's got a story coming out on Penny Hardaway and his selfie, so I don't know if that'll be dropping tomorrow, but yeah, check that out. I would do that.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Yeah, this is one I probably should have talked to Brad about, because honestly, I'm not all that sure. I'm imagining Gary's back in studio because he usually hops a plane and is back after his CBS sports duties are done. Brad will be back, I believe, across the glass with him. Jeff Calkins will be here at 5 o'clock. They'll probably have another guest in there somewhere, maybe one of their weekly guys. I don't know if that's Jason or John or a combination of the two. But by all means, I mean, you'll be listening anyway, right? You listen every day. From 4 to 6. I don't know why I would change that tomorrow. So thank you to Gary for joining me. Thanks to Jeff Calkins. Thanks to Keith Easterwood. Thank you to Ben Hogan. I'm Matt Stark. I had a blast these last couple days. I'll talk to you when I talk to you. Have a great night, Memphis.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.